All right, we've been looking through and we saw how that Jesus explained to his apostles there that he's the true vine and the Father is the husbandman. We saw how that the Word of God, it purges us or cleanses us, as he said, and it takes away all the unnecessary branches that are not bearing fruit. And again, coming back to, he removes everything that's unnecessary it's unnecessary for fruit bearing. And a wonderful thing to see in the life that our Lord is concerned about our walk with Him, isn't He? He's concerned about us. He's concerned about our family. Obviously concerned about us bearing much fruit. Again, it's for our benefit and it's for our good. Now, as we left off last week, notice, if you will, verse number 4 here. As we go through verse 4, He says, "Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me." He says, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me ye can do nothing." Now, as we've seen that, we now enter into a clarification, if you will, in the Word of God about what Jesus is saying. He says, again, "Except ye abide in Me, ye cannot. Now notice this, as we've seen the last few weeks, we're given the great responsibility to bear fruit for our Lord. When we do begin to bear, the Word of God begins to prune away all that is unnecessary for fruit bearing. In the verse 4 here, we see the words of the Lord. He says, "Abide in Me and I in you." A wonderful thing and encouragement for a lot of people. I shared this with a new convert once that to show him that without Christ, you can't do anything. You really can't do anything. And then telling him, hey, listen, the responsibility is kind of taken off your shoulders. You're not trying to work for it. You're not trying to, you know, always be this clean type of thing in front of God. Oh, God, am I good enough? No. God's already pronounced you that you're one of His, that you are in His sight, one of His children, and that you're redeemed and all of that. But without Him, we can't do anything. Now, many people believe this, that when they're saved at the moment of salvation, they become a super Christian bearing abundant fruit immediately after salvation. But as Jesus says here, it takes time, because He says, "Abide in Me." Don't stop abiding. Do not detach yourself from the vine, because you need Me, right? You need Me. So many people believe this as they get saved. In fact, the one thing that is certain that comes right after salvation is the attack of the adversary, isn't it? He immediately attacks. He'll immediately work in your life. And he'll try and discourage you and frustrate you. He can't have your salvation, but he can discourage you, can he? And thinking through this now, we understand. He says, "Abide in Me." Now, remember, fellas, you've got to stay close. You've got to abide. You've got to remain, or you're going to wither on the vine. You're going to wither. It takes time. The Lord reminds us to abide in Him, wait in Him, trust His process. I like that. Trust the process. You can't bear fruit without Me. You will die on the vine. They bring forth much fruit. I like this. We're trusting the process that God is doing in His time. You remember that old song, "In His time, in His time. He makes all things beautiful in His time." And you think about it, it is His time. The Bible uses the term "in due time." Due time is God's timing. In due time, Christ came forth, born of a virgin. You know that. In due time, ye shall reap if ye faint not. Due time, that's God's timing. If you're like me, I want it now, right? Lord, we want it now. Let us have a building and let us have this and let us have that. I want it right now. God says, no, I've got to work in your life first and I've got to help you bear some fruit. I heard an athlete just recently, he was being interviewed and he told the reporter, he said, "I've learned to love the process and not just the results," so many are focused on the trophy. Oh, I want the trophy, I want the trophy, I want the win. But this athlete says, "I've learned to love the process in the meantime. I fell in love with the exercise and the repeated practice and honing my skills and getting better at what I do," right? He says, "I fell in love with the process." And you know, we often look at that. Lord, I want this and I want this now and I want to be blessed here and I want you to provide that. And God says, "Well, I'm working in your life to try and help you bear fruit." And you and I ought to, again, as you know, be in love with the process as God helps us to walk day by day. I was thinking about this as I was reading my Bible, but It comes down very simple, isn't it? It's very simple to follow the Lord. It's daily just making the decision, I'm going to do it God's way over my way in everything we do. I'm going to choose to do it the right way, the righteous way, over self-centered way, or worldly way, or fleshly way. Just every decision. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit's come over me. No, it deceives a lot of people. People out there are a lot of deceived people that think that it's a feeling, right? We don't go off feeling, we go off facts, plural, and the Bible is a factual book. We follow the Bible, don't we? We follow through and we let God work and we say, you know what? I'm going to make the decision today to not respond that way, to not think that way, to not go that way. Now, again, now the fruit is a byproduct of abiding in Christ. We've already seen that. The Lord wants our hearts first and foremost. That's the whole thing. I want your heart. You know, in the Old Testament, Jesus reiterates it in the New Testament, and he says what? All the law and prophets hang on that. Love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God with everything within you. Love him. And that's what he wants. Why am I bearing fruit? Well, because I love the Lord, because I want to serve him, because I want him to be pleased with me. Why am I bearing the fruit that I'm supposed to? Why is God allowing me to go through this? Why would the Word of God begin to purge and snip away that which is unnecessary in my life? Why? Right? Because he wants us to bear fruit. Bear the fruit for our benefit, for our good. Now, we talked about most of that. We as human beings, as I said, have a nasty habit of flaking out so often. Now, this is nothing surprising to the Lord. He knows us better than anybody else, and therefore he reminds us to remain, to remain. We must detach ourselves from everything else and attach ourselves to him alone. Then the sweet second portion of this verse comes. He says, abide in me, but notice this, and I in you. I in you. It's a wonderful thing to think about. When you abide in Christ, automatically God abides or comes in you. I in you. I'm with you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to help you. Here to empower you. Many believers wonder why more progress is not being made in their walk with God. This is because the I in you is not come because the abide in me is not maintained. Did you get all that? It took me a minute. Because the I in you is not come because the abide in me is not maintained. We don't abide in him, and it's not a maintained thing. The I in you does not come. The I in you. I am in you. God is in you. That's a wonderful thing. We know it. Understand it. The fruit is evidence of that. Now again, thirdly here, note the order. Abide in me and then I in you. Then I abide in you. The place is, once again, the full responsibility upon the individual to abide. God will not, miraculously one night just all of a sudden dump the Holy Spirit upon you. And you're not living right with you. You're not abiding with Christ. You're not in the Bible. You're not spending time in prayer. Oh, filled with the Spirit. No, you're not. It's unbiblical. It's a responsibility for every one of us to step forward and say, God, I am taking the time, the effort, the energy to abide in you. I'm going to do it. And when we take that step of faith, as you know in the Bible, so clearly throughout Scripture, God comes. The prodigal son we read several weeks ago, but what happened? The father saw him afar off and jumped up and ran and met him more than halfway, didn't he? More than halfway. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. And he says, when you abide. But you've got to put forth the effort. You have got to take the time to do so. Invest. Invest, as we already have said. We must remove everything that's not necessary. Not necessary for fruit bearing. I like this quote from Andrew Murray, and he said this, the graft must have grown into the stem and the abiding in it before the sap can flow through to bring forth the fruit. Has anyone ever seen a graft on a tree or something? It's amazing, isn't it? You can take a branch from another tree or another fruit tree in some cases and graft it into another tree. And what they'll do, in case you've seen it, they'll wrap it obviously in certain things and take care of it and feed it certain things. But they take time, they've got to let it time, and it begins to graft together, doesn't it? Those fibers begin to come together, and then that sap begins to feed that stem that was added, that branch that was added. And the graft must grow into the stem. The abiding in it must take place before the fruit begins. Isn't that wonderful? We abide in Christ. God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to act? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Blah, 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 and all those things we say. And then we see it. The fruit comes. The fruit comes. When we fulfill our part, He will fulfill His part. Clear. Abide in me. Abide, remain, stay. Keep seeking. Don't quit. Don't quit. We would say today we don't quit. Well, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. But let's bring it a little closer to home and something maybe for me. Don't get apathetic or distracted away from abiding in Him. Many of us won't outright quit on God, but we will get lazy and we will get distracted. That's a sad indictment on us, isn't it? Distracted. We're too busy. We're too busy to spend time in the Scripture. Too busy to spend time in prayer. We're too busy, aren't we? Too much. I'm too distracted. I've got too much going. Too much going. And my friends, you know this. Our priorities are off. And I'd encourage you to get alone with God this evening and say, God, I'd like to come back and abide in you and be where I should be. Now notice this, except it abide. This is something, fourthly, I want to say. There's only one way for the branch to bear fruit. That is the unbroken communion with the vine. As you reflect upon your life with Christ, you can recall the times of weakness and maybe the lackluster in your walk. Those times are marked by the broken communion with Christ. I know in my life, when things weren't going too well, there's just kind of a blah about Christianity, about ministry, about church. You ever feel that way? It was times I know specific that I was not in communion with Christ. I was not in fellowship with Him. I was not where I should have been in that abiding relationship. And it's clearly seen you're not receiving the life-giving sap from the vine. You're not receiving that power from the vine that you ought to be. This is rather elementary, but it's so important. When abiding, we must understand. Now, we're going to see this here. 1 John chapter 1. Let me turn over there. 1 John, if you'd like to turn there, you can as well. 1 John, he speaks again clearly on the fellowship that we ought to have with the Lord and with our Savior. 1 John chapter 1, he says verse 3, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you. Note for what reason? That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Notice, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, again, just talking about the fellowship, the abiding. John says there are many people that say, oh, I have fellowship and abiding relationship with Him, right? But you see it. There's no light. There's no fruit in their lives. We are a liar and we lie to ourselves, don't we? We lie to ourselves. Except ye abide, he says. The broken fellowship hinders our fruit. It hinders it. Let me move ahead here. Now, we're going to see now verse number 5 of John 15. And we see here that again, without me, he says, ye can do nothing. Verse 5. That's a phrase you might want to underline or memorize or circle in your Bible. Without me, ye can do nothing. Ye can do nothing. He couples this with a new word. Now notice this, verse 5, much, much fruit. He talked about fruit and he talked about more fruit, but now he's talking about much fruit, an abundance of fruit, abundance. Without me, you can do nothing. And notice, you'll have much fruit if you do abide. Not only can we do nothing, but when we are in Him, we not only bear fruit, but much fruit. Very few bear much fruit in this life. If you do, you'll be above average. You'll be above the crowd. You'll be standing out. You bear much fruit. It's true. We find, once again, a total complete dependence upon our Lord. Complete dependence in order to accomplish anything of eternal value. Anything. Philippians 4:13, I mentioned on Sunday, but again, he talks about what? That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to do what I'm supposed to do. Not what I want to do, whatever I want to do. And a lot of athletes will do that. I said that earlier, but put it on their jerseys or write it on or sometimes tattoo it on their arm. I'm not advocating tattoos. Okay? They'll say, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. yeah, they're wanting Christ to strengthen them to do what they want to do, to win the battle, to win the fight, to win the match, if you will. And God says, I've strengthened you to do what you're supposed to do. So therefore, we are without excuse, aren't we? No excuses. No more excuses. Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. No. I didn't know we were going to. No. Right? I didn't know I was supposed to abide with you every day. I thought, no. No excuses. God strengthens us. God gives us what we need. We've all had that. We've all had that. I want to please Him, and I want to accomplish the will of God, and we have all that we need to do both of those things. Now, let me see here by wrapping it up here. How do you stand above the rest? How do we do it? How do we walk with such confidence in our Christianity? How do we live each day with perfect peace in our lives? It comes back to our abiding relationship with Christ. How's your abiding today? How is it? Is your abiding where you're supposed to be? You with Him? You grafted into the vine? Are you strengthened? Are you waiting on Him? Abiding should be a top priority for every one of us. Spending time with Him. It's not hard. It's not stressful. It's easy. It yields great rewards for us. When you abide, Jesus said what? Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you more burdens. I'll put more upon your back. I'll make it stressful to go to church. You'll be overworked so you don't have any time to spend in the Scriptures. No. He says what? I'll give you one word, rest. That's what the world's looking for, isn't it? Rest. Rest. Not laziness, not apathy. Rest, where you have the peace of God that passes understanding. That's what comes when you spend time with Him. The fellowship, the abiding with the Lord. Now let me say verse number 6 and 7 and I'll be done here. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, he's withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now amazing, you think, whoa, God will give me everything I want, right? No, again, as you follow Christ or in His will, your will becomes His will. His will becomes your will, doesn't it? You no longer ask for material things. You now ask for God's will to be done in your life. Jesus said that, didn't He? Not my will be done, but thine. Jesus said, if this cup pass from me, so be it, Lord. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, His will became submitted and surrendered to the will of God the Father, didn't it? That's where we ought to be. And He says, when you abide in me, my words, notice that, plural, as we talked about already, the Word of God abides in you. Reading, memorization, study, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I believe why many Christians, saved people, are discouraged, dejected, depressed. They're not getting what they want. And it's clear, isn't it? They don't get what they want because the words of God are not abiding in them. They don't know what the Bible says. Well, I thought God would provide that. But if you would have read your Bible, you would have seen that, oh, well, God's allowing me to go through that so He'll strengthen me so I can bear more fruit. Well, I thought God would have blessed us in this way, and why was He allowed this into our lives? Oh, if you knew your Bible, God, you know what God, how God worked with David. You know how God worked in the life of Joshua and in the life of Paul. And you know the Word of God, and it abides in you. You ask what you will. Ye will. Notice that. It'll be done to you. Lord, what's your will for my life? Lord, you know my needs. You know my financial needs. You know my personal needs. But God, what is your will? Apparently, it's not that you would provide that immediately to us. Apparently, Lord, it's not that you would allow that to be erected so quickly. But you're allowing us to wait for a reason, isn't He? Allowing us to wait. Why? So we can learn of Him. We can know Him. Paul said that I may know Him. I may know Him. And again, understanding all that. You know some of these. I won't keep going. We're going to cover just about 3 or 4 more verses next week, and then move on to a little bit different portion of the Scripture in the weeks ahead. But I hope it encourages you to think about that you can bear much fruit. Not just a little fruit, much fruit. You can be the cream of the crop above the crowd if you'll stay and abide with Him. It's simple, isn't it? It's simple. I read a story of a little boy. Little boy was walking down the road one day, and he saw a fancy car pass by. Always a fancy car, it's a big car. Beautiful. And the car pulled into the parking lot. The guy went out. He went into the bank. He did something. And he came back outside, and that little boy was just gawking at that car. He's just staring. Man, ooh, that's nice. He said, do you like that? The boy said, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's a nice car. He said, well, I'm going to make this day he'll never forget. He said, why don't you hop in? I'll take you home. He said, you're kidding. He said, no way. Hop in. The little boy with haste jumped in, man. White plush leather seats. Every button you can imagine. He's playing with all the buttons. What's this do? What's this do? The top rolls back, you know, the radio turns up, the the windows are going up and down, wipers are going, and the man's just kind of laughing like, oh, that's funny. And he gets home, he says, well, where do you live? And he tells him where he lives, and obviously it was a bad part of town. It was a little run-down apartment building, you know. He said, mister, could you wait just 5 minutes? I want to go upstairs and get my brother and let him see the car. And the guy said, absolutely, yeah, sure, go ahead. I got about 10 minutes to spare. He goes upstairs and waits around. He comes out, and he starts walking down the stairs carrying his little brother. And he could obviously tell he was crippled, couldn't walk. He said, look at the car. And the boy said, man, that's nice. He said, I got to ride in it. He said, you're kidding. He said, "That's put your brother inside. I'll take him around the block. He took him around the block. He said, mister, I go out every day, and I look around town, and I look at all the stuff. I look at all the fancy things, all the bright lights, and just anything that catches my eye. And I go back home every night, and I tell my brother what I saw. I tell my brother what I saw. I thought about that story, and I thought, that little boy could do nothing without his older brother, right? Nothing. His older brother helped him and carried him and told him about all the fancy things in town and how Mr. Joe Blow got a new car and the supermarket got a new sign. And I thought about that. We so often fail to see that without God, we can't do anything. If we abide in Him and in the relationship that He wants with us, it's so simple, isn't it? How much God is saying, how much fruit I'll give to you, Tim. How much you could have, how much more of a life of joy, and how much more you could be bearing, and how much of a stronger relationship you could have with me if you would abide in me. Why? Without me, you can do nothing, nothing at all, right? Amen. Amen. I hope you're abiding in Him, and I know you are. I pray for you, and I pray that God's hand in your life and encourages and strengthens you to abide. But it takes effort and energy on our part, doesn't it? We can't just wake up tomorrow and be in an abiding relationship. We have to put forth the effort. God, help me and help us to be in an abiding relationship. All right, let me pray. Lord, thank you again, as I say, for this time you've given us and blessed us with, God, tonight to look at your word. What a wonderful reminder that without you, we can't do anything, Lord. We try, and there's many successes in life that, Lord, are accomplished by us doing what we do. But, Lord, ultimately, spiritually, we want to please you and do what you want us to do, and that comes only through an abiding relationship. We must hear from you every day and know what you want. We must hear and communicate with you, God. As you speak to us through your word, and then we respond to you through prayer in that wonderful communion and fellowship that John talked about, help us, Lord, to put forth the effort to do our part and to be what we're supposed to be for you. Lord, it's for our benefit, and that, God, we'd bear much fruit for you. In Jesus' precious name we do pray, and amen. Amen.